Am I next? Okay. Well, thank you. Isn't she pretty? First time I saw her, I was 9 years old, and I said, isn't she pretty? And I just stayed with that. Good morning, and good afternoon, and good evening. And if you're here for the first time, you don't have any idea what to expect, so just expect something good. You can expect to be loved and cared for. You can expect to hear God's word that'll change your life. So just enjoy. We thank you for coming. You did the right thing by coming. And if you're here for the second time, third time, or the 500th time, you also did the right thing in coming. We appreciate your attendance. And how many of you have ever heard of the term mulligan stew? Yeah, a few people have. I'll explain that in a minute. Let's start with prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I just want to thank you that you have included us in your plan, and everything you do, we get to be a part of it. It's amazing, Lord, that how you made it clear in your word that we are your very body, that you are the head. And so that assures us that everything you do, we get to be a part of, and we're just excited about that. And we're excited about the fact that you're moving in the earth today in a mighty way, and that your kingdom is being established as never before. And we thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that everything we do today will be a blessing to your people and bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah. Okay. I'm getting rid of some stuff I don't need here. I do need a bottle of water out of the refrigerator. If somebody get me one, I'd appreciate it. I'll be sure and get water because sometimes they put white lightning in those bottles and it looks the same. It looks the same. Hallelujah. Yeah. Mulligan stew. So, yeah. Let me get back on track. My mother did that and does that, the mulligan stew thing. And if you wonder what we're talking about, well, I only have one definition, and that's the one I grew up with. Maybe you had something different. Thank you, Bill. You didn't have any Arrowhead? Bill drinks Arrowhead or nothing. This is Nestle. Well, that'll work. And anyway, mulligan stew in my family was whatever was in the cabinet or the refrigerator that was available to make stew. And Mom might make stew one, you know, today with the ingredients on hand, and a month from now decide to make stew from now and have a whole different set of ingredients. But it was all just mulligan stew. And my mom's a little different than some people. She never threw anything away. She'd just throw it in a stew pot. And so sometimes the mulligan stew, even after we had a meal or two, it would grow. It was just amazing how my folks eat. It would scare you half to death if you knew how they eat. But Dad's 94 and she's 89 and they're doing quite well. There goes health food. Anyway, my sermon today is mulligan stew. I have the ingredients that I had on hand the last few days. I'll put them in the pot here. And next time we have stew in a few days, I may have different ingredients, you see. But, you know, stew is different than soup. I like good soup. But soup gives you a flavor of a combination of ingredients. Yeah? But with stew, you can taste each ingredient individually. If there's potatoes, you take a bite of potato, and an onion, you know, a carrot, a turnip, or, you know, a piece of kale, or, you know, whatever happens to be in there, a rutabaga, or, you know, a piece of meat. You taste each individual piece. And so I want you to just be ready to taste each individual piece today, because we may not follow through the complete sermon on one exact same theme. We're going to eat stew. And we're going to start in Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29. Can you find that, Sabrina? Put it up. Sabrina's my favorite grandchild. I have 14 of them. She gets to be favorite today because she's running the computer. And I'm going to turn this light off so we can see that screen a little bit better. And then I'll run back up and turn it on so I can see my Bible on the pulpit. And so if you see me running back and forth, you know what I'm doing. And so it was. I like that. It makes me want to stop and preach. So it was. That means it really was. It's not just a story. So it was. Huh? Not just a fable or an old wives' tale. No, so it was. When Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes or all those other preachers. Now we're going to go to the next chapter 8, about a page on down the line there, chapter 8, verse 5. And we'll go through 13. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "Well, I'll come and heal him." And the centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority." He was under the authority of Caesar. "I am man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, he goes. To another one, come, and he comes, he better. And to my servant, do this, and you know what? He does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled. He said to those that followed, "Assuredly, I say unto you, I've not found such great faith, no, not even in Israel." Let's go on with this. "And I say to you that many will come from the east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour. Now, how did this servant get healed? He got healed because authority took preeminence. This centurion, officer in the army, if you will, understood authority. And he talked about that. He said, "I understand authority." Well, thank you, Mitch. Bless your darling heart. You can have two of my gold bricks when we get to heaven. This officer understood authority. And he said, "Jesus, I understand that, you know, because I understand authority, I recognize your authority. And so why don't you just, you know, because I know you're a man of authority, I recognize that in you, why don't you just say it?" And Jesus said, "Okay, we'll do that. Your servant will be healed." And he was healed. Because authority took the place. Authority took over and covered the need. And I want to talk a little bit about authority as connected to the anointing. And I'm not sure why I'm talking about it like this. It's just the way it came up in me as I prayed about this. But listen carefully. This is what I was getting as I meditated on it. Authority is the expression of the anointing. Authority is the expression of anointing. Now, Jesus was highly anointed by the Father. He was highly anointed by the Holy Spirit. And on the day of his water baptism at the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And Jesus was anointed from that day forward to go forth and do mighty things in the authority of his name. And the anointing and the authority seem to go hand in hand. And let's look at that a little bit in the, as we think about the past history of the Bible in the Old Testament. King David, everybody remembers King David. You know, he's the one that slew the giant. You know, he was anointed as a boy shepherd. Now, you that have read the story in the book of Samuel, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't read it, you need to go look it up. It's a good story. But David was just a boy shepherd, and the prophet came along and anointed him, poured oil on his head and prayed over him, prophesied over his life, and anointed him to be king. Now, that was some years later before he rose to the authority of a king. Lord, help me get to this. Sometimes in my life and in yours, the Lord anoints us for an act of ministry, and it's sometime later before we walk in the authority of that ministry. Just an example you'll read about in the bulletin here in a couple of days as we're talking about it. Been putting in a bulletin the history, short history briefs of our Mexican pastors that we support and work with. And one coming up is with Ruben and Maria. Now, Ruben used to come to church back in the early 90s. He used to come to church high. You know what that means? Anybody know what it means, high? You know? He didn't want to talk about that. He used to come to church, you know, needing Jesus real bad. Now, he had met Jesus some years prior to that, but he hadn't really made Jesus his Lord, and so he was playing with the world. Well, we would pray with him, and I remember many times Barbara especially would just zero in on him, begin to pray with him, and she'd prophesy great and mighty things over his life. And his best friend was bringing him to church, Arturo Monge was bringing him to church, and Arturo knew Reuben real well. You know, they were drinking buddies. And Barbara's prophesying great and mighty things and asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come on Reuben's life. And Arturo's going, hey, it ain't going to work on him. But he was anointed. He was anointed to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometime later, he began to move in the authority of that anointing. And he took his place then as a soul winner and as a pastor and as an evangelist. And he's still serving God today in the authority. But he wouldn't have that authority had he not been anointed. David was anointed as a boy, but then he rose, as he grew and matured, he rose in authority to the place of a great king and a giant slayer, and one who conquered nations. You know, Paul the Apostle in the book of Acts, he was persecuting the church in terrible ways. People were dying at his hand. He hated Christians with a passion. But on the road to Damascus one day, Jesus stopped him with a great flash of light and blinded him literally and threw him to the ground. And the power of God surrounded him in such a mighty way, and Jesus spoke to him, changed his life. And on that day, they took him to another fellow's house, and a Christian's house, where he was prayed for and anointed. And he came from the place of being a persecutor of the church. That anointing came on him, and then sometime later he rose in the power and the maturity of that anointing. He rose to become the great apostle, great chief apostle of the church. And if any of you have ever been anointed in prayer, I want you to be ready to grow in that anointing and honor that anointing and respect that anointing and let it develop in you so that one day you can rise in authority over the things that hinder you. Rise in authority over your enemies. Amen? Now, as I was praying a few days ago, I heard these words in my spirit. It sounded like this: our Lord Jesus is coming to Douglas to pay us a visit, and we'll recognize him by the authority of his spirit upon his ministers. That's what I heard as I was praying. Let me read it to you again. Our Lord Jesus is coming to Douglas to pay us a visit. How would you like that? And we'll recognize him by the authority of his spirit that's upon his ministers. And I have seen something in my own life and in a brief history that we've been here in Douglas since 1987. I've noticed that many of the ministers in this community have been anointed in the past, and they're now rising into a place of authority where they're real men and women of God making a difference in people's lives. And that's my prayer for me, for you, and for this church, that we will rise to the authority that matches the anointing. When the Lord Jesus anointed us by his Spirit and through the prophetic word, it was power from heaven, word from God, and it had an amazing authority with it that is in us. And we need to grow and mature in the Lord so that we can come to that place of authority where we are soul winners and nation movers and nation shakers and giant slayers. I appreciate the anointings I've had, but I am ready. My heart is ready. My soul is longing. My spirit is jumping up and down. And like Nina said, I can't hardly stand it sometimes because I feel God, so much God on me. I want to start moving in the authority that Jesus had when he walked this earth. Now this is, I got to be careful with this, but it's a true saying here. Listen carefully. When Jesus walked the earth, he used his authority with his voice, with his words. He said to the centurion, your servant will be healed even as you believe. And I believe if we will allow the maturity of the Holy Spirit to work in us, that we will be coming to that place where we will soon one day rise in authority, where we can say, when someone comes to us with a prayer request, we can say, brother, sister, that loved one of yours in the hospital is healed in Jesus' name. I want that. I believe it's available. Not to puff us up, not to make us look great or wonderful or prideful or powerful. No, to give glory to God. But he intends to use his body. Jesus is in heaven with the Father, and he sent the Holy Spirit here to mature us in his word so that we can rise up and begin to operate in the authority of Jesus Christ. I'm hungry for that, guys. I'm hungry for it. Now, it's interesting how these scriptures locked in my mind as I've meditated on these things. How many have heard of the fivefold ministry? Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists, right? Let's read that in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. Is that the next scripture in the line, Ephesians 4? Okay, show us the next one online. I'll preach that. They all preach. Okay, can you get back up to Ephesians 11, the verse 11 in that same chapter? No, you can't do that? Okay, well, that's my mistake. I had meant to have them put Ephesians 4, 11 through 14, and that I made a mistake. I apologize for that. I will read it the old-fashioned way from the book. Are you ready? Ephesians 4, 11. If you've brought your Bible with you, you can follow along with me. If you didn't bring a Bible, just sit by a Christian. Read with them. Now, he, that's Jesus. Everybody say, that's Jesus. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. Why? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, and for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till, I like to say until, you can take that down because we're not using it. That way they don't get mixed up reading that and hearing me at the same time. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of what? Who? The Son of God. Who is that? Jesus. A perfect man. Who is that? And to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Who is that? We're talking about Jesus here, aren't we? That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro. Now listen carefully. That we'll no longer be children tossed to and fro. We'll no longer be children carried away by every wind of doctrine, or by the trickery of men, or in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Jesus ministered in the fullness of the fivefold ministry. If someone would have come up to Jesus and said, are you an apostle, sir? He'd say, yeah. Somebody else run up at the same time. Are you a pastor, sir? Yeah. And the next one, are you an evangelist, sir? Well, you bet. And another one come up, hey, are you the teacher? Yep, I'm him. Yeah. Who's the next one? I left one out. Prophet. Somebody come up to him and say, so are you the prophet they said was coming? He said, yeah. He operated in the fullness of all five. Now listen carefully as I read this. These five, as listed in verse 11, are for the equipping of the saints, the work of the ministry, and the edifying of the body, until we all come to the unity of Jesus, to the perfect man Jesus, to the measure of his fullness Jesus. The fivefold are given to us to mature us until we become one like Jesus was. I am actually observing around this world men and women of God who are maturing under the fivefold ministry to the place that they are becoming more like Jesus, where they are actually operating in multiple ministries, some of them all five. That's why the five were given to us, that we might all come to the maturity and the unity and the fullness of Christ. He wants all of us operating in these five. He wants all of us to come to that place of maturity where in that fullness where we minister like he did. I really believe that. And I'm beginning to observe it in many ministers. It's like, hey, that guy used to be an evangelist. Hey, that guy used to be a pastor. That guy used to be, and yet he's doing all these other, he's so moving by the Spirit and all these other gifts that were given to the church. And it's because the Lord is anointing us to do the ministry of Jesus, and he's growing us up to do the ministry of Jesus. He's maturing us to do the ministry of Jesus. He's teaching us with the five ministries that are listed here that we might become like Jesus in our ministry. That's exciting. Oh, hallelujah. Now, a lot of what I've been talking to you about in the last few minutes came to me in the form of a dream. Now, everybody remembers in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, I think it is, and Acts chapter 2, verse something or another. It said in the last days, the young men will see visions. That's why Mitch has visions. Old men will have dreams. That's why I had a dream the other night. Now, I'm not going to give you the extent of the dream because it's not timely right now. But the Lord used a dream to show me a lot of my lack and to show me a lot of what I was doing wrong, and at the same time showed me what I should do to change to get it right. You know, I like it. You know, a lot of times, you know, we see somebody doing wrong and we let them know. Well, if you do something wrong before God, he'll let you know. But you know what he does? He lets you know you're doing it wrong. But then he says, now here's how you fix it. You know, I'd rather you not come to me with your criticism unless you can tell me how to fix it. Works for me. And this dream just really awakened me to some of the things where I've been at fault and misgiven and at lack and lazy and just not wanting to be there to do that. And the Lord began to show me through verse 14. Okay, verse 13, we moved up into the measure, the stature of Jesus, right? Why? In verse 14, it tells us why, so that we would no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, trickery of men, and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And in my dream, I realized that I wasn't operating in the fullness of Christ as I should be. I wasn't operating in the unity and the fullness and the ministry that he's called me to do. I wasn't there where I was supposed to be spiritually. And it was opening the door for cunning craftiness and wishy-washiness and trickery of men. And I'm going in the dream, Lord, how'd that get in my pulpit? He said, well, you let it in. Anyway, I'd have to tell you the whole dream to, you know, explain all that to you. But he really woke me up. He wants us to take our place under the anointing that he has put on us. We need to be operating under that anointing 100% and growing under that anointing until we come to this place of authority where we can speak like Jesus spoke. There's a purpose in all this. It's to get Jesus in the earth. The purpose in all of this is to get Jesus in the earth. Why is he working on us? To get Jesus in the earth. Mulligan stew. Some of you may have noticed that Barbara and I weren't here last Sunday. Some of you probably didn't even notice. But on last Sunday, we were with my parents in New Mexico, the snow country, and 2 days prior to that, we had went to Phoenix to a couple of, some Friday and Saturday, went to some amazing meetings in Phoenix, and we just heard so many beautiful things. And then Saturday night, we moved up into the high mountains around Sholo and Pine Top, and snow was a foot deep, and it was heavy on the trees. It was just winter wonderland. It was so beautiful. We barely got in. The roads were just almost more. They said, you need a four-wheel drive or chains, and so I just ignored that and went. And as I've always done, and we made it. But then the next day, we was on Highway 260. On the next day, that foot of snow turned to 3. They closed the highway right after we left. But anyway, that's another story. We had a lot of fun. Had a good time with my parents. But at that meeting we went to, I heard things. I want to talk to you about that a little bit, and I brought some notes home. Did everybody read this? I think you have. If you haven't read it, you probably ought to come up here and read it after service. 2017, a year of increase in all good things. Now, the Lord gave us this back in the late December. And so we began to publish this back in late December as a theme for this year. And the Lord made it clear to us that he wanted to increase us in all good things. And little did I know that there were so many good things. Right after the Lord gave us this, I started, you know, reading other publications, you know, from various ministers. And we get all kinds of magazines from other ministers and letters from other ministries. And everybody's talking about something good about to happen. I never seen so many increase in all good things. And I'm going, yeah, Lord, you knew what you was talking about. This is so good. Well, you go to this meeting, and the whole meeting's about all these good things. And it's just good thing after 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 good thing. And I wrote down as fast as I could some of them. And I'm going, hey, Lord, I now know what you meant when you said all good things. I tell you, if you got something good going on in your life, get ready for increase. Now, here's some of the things that God spoke to my heart, and some of the things that he spoke to my ears. You know, sometimes he speaks to your heart, sometimes he speaks to your ears, and it tries to get to your heart. Amen. Something that he spoke to my heart at the meeting was, he said, God wants Faith Ministry Church to become a hot, passionate church. How many of you like hot, passionate? I do. I've been married 2 or 3 years, but I still like it hot and passionate. You want me to go on? Hey? God wants Faith Ministry Church to become a hot, passionate church. And he gave me the reason and why. Everybody say why. So that he can use us as an apostolic sending center, sending out ministries locally and around the world. I heard the Holy Spirit speaking that to my heart. He wants us hot and passionate for Jesus so that he can turn us into an apostolic sending center. And we'll be sending out ministries locally and around the world. Did you get that written down there? I'll let you copy my notes later if you need to. Now, we heard a lot in the meetings about the year 2017, but we actually heard more about the year 5,777. Because most of the folks at the meeting were of Jewish descent, and even though they're Christians following Christ, they have a lot of background in the Jewish traditions, and you know the Old Testament readings, and so they talked a lot about this year is 5777. That's the Hebrew calendar, which in my own opinion, it's just my opinion, okay. But I've known the Hebrew calendar was way different than ours, you know, for many, many years. I've known that, and I've always felt deeply in my heart that that was the most accurate calendar on earth. You know, did you know that England has a different calendar than we do? England has a different calendar than we do. The Chinese have a different calendar than we do. The old indigenous people, the Aztecs and the Mayas and all, you know, they all had different calendars. A lot of everybody's got a calendar. But I believe with all my heart that the Hebrew calendar is the most accurate calendar on earth. It's just a belief. It's a conviction I have. Someday when I get to heaven, I'll ask the Lord if I was right. But we heard a lot about the year 2017, and we heard even more about 5777. And so I'll share some of those things with you as we go along. Now, you may want to write some of these down. This is kind of a hodgepodge of things. And I missed a lot of them. They were speaking so fast, I missed a lot of things, but here's several things. This is the year of mantle transfer. Anybody know what the mantle is? The mantle signifies the anointing on the minister. It signifies the anointing on the minister to do a specific job. Okay? Elisha, the prophet, received the mantle of his predecessor, Elijah. Okay? He picked up and took off with that ministry. And this is the year, 2017, the year of mantle transfers. And it's a year of finishing well. And this goes on. And it's a year of remantling for new beginnings. Some of us already get excited about that. Because I at my age, I can see areas of my life that need to finish well. And that my mantle for doing certain aspects of ministry will more than likely be passed to someone younger. But it's also a year of remantling for new beginnings. Some of us old guys are to shout hallelujah. Some of us don't know what we're talking about. This is 2017 is a year of reminded promises. How many of you have ever you feel like in your heart you received a promise from God? This is a year that he's going to be reminding you of those promises. Keep in mind that God doesn't lie, and he don't care how long it takes. Once you get in with his ducks in a row, it's all going to come to pass what he said. And he's going to be reminding us this year of his promises, and we need to say yes and amen to that. And this is a year to move into the new. And there's a PS on that. I guess you call it a PS. This is the year to move into the new with authority. If God gives us a new plan, a new vision, and we move into it without the authority of Christ, we might fail. Everybody with me? Hang on. This is a year of multiplication. Sometimes my tongue gets in front of my eye tooth and I can't see what I'm saying for the life of me. Multiplication. You know, multiply. I don't know why I can't say certain things sometimes. Go ahead and laugh. It's funny to me too. Ha ha! Multiplication. That's close? Now, I don't think that means we're all going to have more babies. You know, some of you might. But God's going to be multiplying good things in our lives this year. It's going to be a year of mobilization. You know, we could have a good plan from God, but if we're not mobilized, we'll never get it done. And this is a year he's going to mobilize us to do what he's told us to do. Now, this is a beautiful one here. Do you, on your computer list of scriptures, do you have 2 Chronicles? Would somebody else preach this, please? 2 Chronicles 5, 12 through 14. Can you do that one? And the Levites, who were the singers, And all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun with their sons and their brethren stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps. And with them 120 priests sounding trumpets. Boys are tooting the horn, weren't they? Indeed, it came to pass when the trumpeters and the singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in the praising and the thanking of the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, help me with this, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. And then what happened? The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. So that the priests could not continue to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now, I chose this scripture to go along with what I'm going to say about the next year. 2017 is a year to feel. Hang on, fasten your seatbelt. This is a year to feel a new weight of glory. Somebody get that. These brothers in the scripture here, they couldn't stand to minister because they felt the weight of the glory. I want the weight of the glory to put us on the floor and just leave us there for a month or two. New weight of glory. It feels good, doesn't it? It feels good. The weight of the glory of God feels good. I'm ready. Nina, I want it. Come on. Michael, I want it. I want that weight of God's glory on me. I want to feel him. 2017 is a year to return to the joy cycle. How many feel like maybe you've lost some of the joy you've had in the past? I know how that feels. Certain areas of my life used to be so joyful, and now it's just kind of humdum. I want my joy back. I want to come to church and somebody say, what are you grinning about? I say, man, I'm full of joy. Come to church and I say, what you been drinking? Oh, Holy Ghost wine, I'm full of joy. Don't you want that? Well, this is the year for that. Now, I wrote down a bunch of the things that they were talking about the year 5777 on the Hebrew calendar. This is a year, by the way, the 5777 has a whole sermon in itself that I didn't write down the notes, so I couldn't even do it justice, but it's a lineup of numbers that are very, very significant, extremely significant. And this is a year of first. How many of you ever run a race and you was first? Well, you knew somebody that was. Well, this is a year of first, and the exhortation that went along with that was we need to be watching this year, watching for first. God will be doing things in our life that are first. It's like, well, I never saw it like that before. I didn't know God was doing things like that. What did you say he did? Well, that's a first. Let's start watching for that. Oh, here's one that's just as simple as it can be, and it's just full of power. Year 5777 is a year of victory. How many could use some victory? 5777 is a year of triumph. That goes along with victory. Okay, you praise and worship folks are going to like this one. Year 5777 is a year of explosive worship. Explosive worship. Explosive worship. I received in prayer a couple of days ago, I received a word specifically for Nina. I gave it to her Wednesday night. I'll just share it with everybody. But the Holy Ghost said to her, sing what's in you. Sing what is in you. That's explosive worship is going to come out of that. Liquid music is going to come out of that. Singing what's in you. Who's in you? Who is in you? The Word's in you. The Holy Spirit's in you. He wants you to sing that. It's too easy to sing up here. It's good to sing up from what's up here because we've got good things in it. But he wants us to start singing out of here. She'd love to just take off on a new song and say, well, I never heard that before. That's a first. And she'd go, I never heard it before either, but I just spoke as the Spirit said speak. Sing as the Spirit said sing. Amen. This is a year of great movement. I believe the Lord's moving and going to move more. Okay, I love this one. 5777 is a year for the next generation to prophesy. Do we have Joel 2:28 up there? And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Don't want to talk about the rest of it, that we did that earlier. Okay, you can turn that off. I believe that you young people have to prophesy. There's no choice in the matter, because the word said you shall prophesy. Let it come out. Reach down in there, pull it up, and let it go. Reach down in there, pull it up, and let it go. You young people have to prophesy, because God said you would. Get right with God, start speaking His word. We'll give you a place for that. 5777 is the year where the prophet determines the force of the church. The prophet determines the force of the church. Is Amos 3:7 on there? There you go. Everybody read that. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. We keep talking about, we want God to move. Everybody, I want God to move in my life. I want God to move in my church. I believe God's going to move this year. Well, He's not going to move anything or anyone unless He tells His prophets first. And He said by the Spirit that the new generation would be bringing forth a lot of prophecy. So you youngsters, get ready to start prophesying about what God's going to do in the church this year. Don't come to me with a prophecy about California falling off in the ocean. Tell me what God's saying to your spirit about what God's going to do here with us this year. We're going to prophesy that and see it come to pass. This is the year of alignment. 5777 is the year of alignment. And then the exhortation went very lengthy and talked about the alignment of those four numbers. But here's in a nutshell, a year of alignment for manifestations. A year of alignment for fulfillments. And being aligned for new beginnings. How about you? I'm hungry. 5777 is a year to move forward into the new. Now this one is exciting to my spirit, the next one. 5777 is a year of change, and it's here to stay. A year of change, and it's here to stay. And the change is required for the establishing of the kingdom. Before God's kingdom is fully established in the earth and we see King Jesus on the throne in Jerusalem, there has to be some changes made. And He's already making those changes, working toward that end. Everything that we are up to now, we're here because of changes that He's made in the past. Change is here to stay. And change is required if we're to see the kingdom come. Are you ready? You'll like this one, you desert rats, you. 5777 is a year for new wells in the desert, both natural and spiritual. New wells in the desert, both natural and spiritual. That could get exciting, huh? 5777 is a year of triumphant conclusions. Yay, it's through preaching. Triumphant conclusions. Now, there's a little different twist in what I was writing down here as I heard the prophet speaking. There's some timing involved here, and I'm very cautious with timing because I have prophesied in timing and really missed it in the past. I've heard some of the best prophets in the land prophesy in timing and miss it, and so I'm real cautious with this, but I wrote it down and I'm going to watch and see. If you don't understand something, watch and see. But this is a year of a lot of sword movement in the United States between now and April. I think I saw some of that on the evening news last night. A lot of sword movement now through April. Here's another one. The whole nation of the USA, the whole nation will notice major changes in Arizona for the next 3 years. And these changes will be answers for the whole nation. According to what the prophets of the Lord are hearing, Arizona is becoming a beachhead for the United States of America in the things of the Spirit. Now, you've all watched John Wayne, the World War II movie, and the Marines. The first thing they did to capture an island in the South Pacific, they got up there on the beach, on the shore, and they established a beachhead to work from. And the prophetic word was coming forth that What God's doing in the next 3 years in Arizona is the establishment of a beachhead in the kingdom of God that the whole nation is going to take notice of, and they're going to work from that to take off and build the glory and capture the island and take the enemy. And that gets exciting. Now, the guy that shared that had been in the military, and he talked about that. I'm ready for another John Wayne movie. Okay, here's, again, mulligan stew. This may be carrots this time. Mercy is the church's new currency. You probably want to write that down. Mercy is the church's new currency. And then that came with a question. The prophet shared that, and then he said, now what are you going to buy with it? If God blesses the church with mercy as a new currency, what are you going to buy with it? And I thought about that. Well, Lord, what am I going to buy with mercy? Well, you can buy souls, for one thing. You can buy new body parts. You can buy restored marriages. You can buy lives delivered from drugs. You can buy a new vision, new hope, new life. Mercy will buy anything that needs to be bought in the kingdom of God. While I'm on this, I just got to relate this with you. For you who watched any of this that I'm talking about, if you watched any of it online or whatever, you probably heard this, but I'm going to relate it for those that didn't watch or hear. But Dutch Sheets, the apostle that was at the meeting and sharing a lot of these things, he and a friend of his went to Washington, D.C., and they went to the front of the White House. And they spent 3 hours just praying, just walking up and down the fence, just praying, seeking God for the nation. This was, it happened just a few days ago, just before the inauguration. And they're just praying and praying and praying. God bless the nation, and praying and praying and praying, praying against the evils and praying for the goods. And then they pulled back away from the fence over on the street corner, and they were just kind of talking a little bit about what they had been praying. And all of a sudden, here comes this guy. This kind of a bum-looking guy, you know, and he looked like a typical panhandler. You know what a panhandler is? Somebody's always begging for money. You know, and you see them coming, you know, and they smell funny and they wear funny clothes. And you know what he's going to say when he gets to you. Buddy, can you spare a dollar, you know? And so they see this, what appeared to be a panhandler coming towards them. And Dutch was saying, oh, God, get rid of him. You know, we're trying to get spiritual here. We've been praying for 3 hours. We don't have time for this guy. You know, I don't even want to take time to give him a dollar just to get rid of him. I mean, I want to stay concentrated on what we're doing here with you, Lord. And the guy just kept walking right straight toward him. And the guy got right just about 3 or 4 feet from him. And he noticed the guy's mouth was moving and he could hear words. And the guy came right by him so close he could have touched him. And the guy never looked at him. The guy came by and all he was saying coming out of his mouth was, mercy, 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 mercy. And Dutch said to his friends, catch that guy. Find out where he's come from, what he's doing, where he's hearing that from the Lord. And they couldn't find him. He disappeared. They were praying for the nation, and God told them how to pray. Mercy, 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 mercy. How much time? We got time. I can be done by 2:00. Promise. Okay, another piece of mulligan stew here. God will move the United States of America from focus on old glory to focus on new glory. And we know that our flag represents, you know, we talk about it as old glory. Well, that's a good focus. We're going to stay with that, but we're going to take on a higher focus, a more precious focus, and that's the new glory. When Barbara and I were, I don't know where we were when he did this, but you were here without us on a last Sunday morning. And just before you started service, I asked Barbara to send Mitch and Nina a message, a text. There's something the Lord was speaking to me about us, for us now. And this is for you, church. This comes directly from your pastors and from the heart of God and for you. The new is now. Commence and develop. In other words, don't wait any longer. The new is now. Grab it and develop it. The new is now. Commence and develop. And don't use 2016 wineskins. Now, Jesus talked about that. He said, if you put new wine in an old wineskin, it's going to pop. It can't stand the pressure. And that's because the old wineskins are all stretched out to their limit. And a new wineskin is still flexible. So keep your hearts flexible. And don't be trying to put new revelation into the old wineskins of what God was doing last season, last year, because this is a new year. This is a year of increase in all good things. This is a new year for you and me to move into bigger and better things to the glory of God and to our benefit. I heard this in my spirit, the kingdom is at hand. And then when I heard that, I remembered what John the Baptist said. I heard what Jesus said, you know, and I remembered the scriptures about that. Both Jesus and John the Baptist said this. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to us, the kingdom is at hand. It's not over there. It's not past and it's not yet to come. It's at hand. Jump in. The new is now. The kingdom's at hand. It's time to get the people saved, get them healed, and get them set free, and preach the gospel, and see the kingdom established. Let's get on. Let's get on with the plan. Please stand to your feet. One of the prophets had a word that when, in speaking for the United States of America, 50 states, he heard from the Lord, and the Lord said, when 70 cities in any one state gather in prayer together, I'll pour out my glory there. At the meetings we went to last week, there were 75 Arizona cities represented. And these fellas that were holding the meeting, they're worldwide, guys. They preach all over the world. They have for 40 years. And this is a first. They have never, ever, in all their history of ministry, seen 70 or more cities come together in prayer in any one state. The prophet had prophesied this some months ago, and it was fulfilled last week. 75 cities were represented in the state of Arizona. God said, He said, I'll pour out my spirit there. I want you to get ready for the glory of God. I want you to get ready to receive. Just so you don't have to do anything. It's not by works, it's by faith. It's not by sight, it's by faith. You just get ready. Just get spongy. Just get spongy and say, Lord, fill me. It's not what you do that's going to make this happen. It's what God does. Oh, thank you, Jesus. One prophecy came forth and he said, we're not to be watching for the changes that man makes. We're to be watching for the man that gets changed. God wants to change some men so that his will be done. When man makes changes, it can go either way, good or bad. But when God changes the man, things start straightening up. I want you to just shut your eyes and bow your heart before the Lord for a moment. And just out of respect to God himself, I just want you to say, Lord, here I am, help me. Lord, here I am, please teach me. Lord, I don't even know what this preacher is talking about, but I know there's something there I need. Lord, help me. Help me, Jesus. I don't know who Jesus is. I've heard about him, but I know he's the only one that can help me. Lord Jesus, if that's really you, if you can help me do something. I mean, get desperate. Go ahead and get desperate. God appreciates desperation. He honors desperation. If you get serious with God, he'll get serious with you and your life will be changed for the good. God's changes are always for the good. His plans for us and our plans for our future, they're all for the good. Maybe in your heart you're wanting to say, well, preacher, pray for me. I need Jesus. I don't know much about this, but I need Jesus. Preacher, pray for me. Just raise your hand. Just raise your hand where I can see it, and I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. God will change your hand. Amen. Change your hand. Change your life. Amen. See those hands. Amen. Amen. If you're comfortable with it, I want you to take someone by the hand. And I want all of us to repeat this prayer. Just get personal with God. It's not about religion, it's about relationship. And God doesn't always speak stained glass window language. He speaks your language. I just want you to say these words with me. Heavenly Father, I need you. And a lot of things I don't understand. But I realize you know best. And God, I need you. And I need Jesus in my life. I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I need to know the Word of God. Lord, bottom line, I need help. Help me, Jesus. Save me. Save me from sin. Save me from myself. Save me from well-meaning friends. Just save me, Lord. I need saving. Oh, Lord, please. You're my only hope. And I'm calling on you in faith. Something deep inside of me says you hear my prayer. Thank you, Lord, for your help. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Now I want you to give about 50 or 60 people a big hug and a kiss and get out there and have the best week you ever had, because this is the year of increase in all good things. Bless you.